history interview with Mr. Jerome Edlis for the National Council of Jewish Women, Pittsburgh Chapter, Oral History 2. And the date is, this is a continuation on November 4th, 1982. Interviewers, Sylvia Busis and Jean Neff. Here you are with this revisionist correspondence.
Yeah, and anyhow, Mr. Schiff came in and he says, this man needs some help. And Schiff was in the same position as I was. He was a general Zionist, a good general Zionist. And I was a general Zionist. And in fact, I was treasurer, I think, at that particular time. And I says, well, what's your problem? Well, they're setting up units of the, see they have, for instance, here they've got New Zionists, the Jewish State Party. They had all kinds of parties.
My goodness, I never heard of any of that.
Well, they still have plenty of them. Well, Dr. Shechtman was the national president here.
Dr. Joseph Shechtman, that's it.
And Colonel Morris J. Mendelson, I'll never forget that fellow. Chairman of the executive board, he was a one-handed, a one-arm veteran of the Spanish-American War, and he became active. These were all New Yorkers.
Did you get much of a Pittsburgh group together on this?
Well, if I show you a list here, by a gentleman by the name of, though he didn't want to be known from a business standpoint, as a active member. He's gone now. He's a good friend of mine. A man by the name of Judith South.
Oh, for heaven's sake, yes.
Why do you think all the money came about? When they needed money.
You went to Julius Halper and got it from the bank, hmm?
Julius said, give Mr. Ennis what they want. She let them sign their names. He said, if they don't pay, I'll pay. But he says, can't advertise that. Because he was the banking business. But they want his lawyer, Mr. Sachs. He's not the remember Sachs?
Sachs?
Yeah. The boy, I think, maybe still living. He was the lawyer for Washington Trust Company. I forget, it was Charlie Sachs.
Charlie Sachs.
Charlie Sachs says, Julius, he says, what do you want to do? He says, you want to close up your bank? He says, they're all customers of yours. They're all Zionists. He says, you can't do that. You can't do this. You can't do that.
But he did it.
Well, he says, you do it. He says, and I'll support you. He had Bacon come to his home.
Did he really?
For a meeting, yes. And I want you to know that certain people I don't like much about their names. But at that time, I don't know who was president, General Zionist. They wouldn't come. He invited them to come just to listen to Bacon.
Would this have been before 48 or after that he had Bacon come to think?
This was before the State of Israel.
Before 48.
Before the State of Israel. Yes.
So Menachem Bacon was here in Pittsburgh at Julius Halpern's home.
I introduced Menachem Bacon that time that he came to Halpern's home. But Halpern, Julius said to me, he said, I'll have them come to the hospital. He says, but on one promise, he says, you can't come.
You weren't allowed to come.
No, he said, I don't want you there because he says, I'm going to invite these other fellows to come here. This is how bitter they were. He says, I'm going to have these other fellows come here. I says, are you sure they're going to come? Sammy Goldstock was one of them. He was a big fighter. I can mention his name. He's gone. But anyhow, he says, I think you can get Bagman to come to the house Sunday afternoon because we had about 1,700 people packed up the Y Auditorium out there when we had Bagman.
Oh, really?
I introduced. They even went to some of the to some of the shuls and instructed the rabbis that they weren't to have any parts of babies coming to bedside. The general side.
Really? That's really?
They weren't bitter. They got their instructions from the rabbi. And when this gentleman came to me, I says, look, we'll go along with what they wanted. They wanted money, they wanted help, they wanted an organization. But he says, we're not going to take any directions from any local people. The directions are going to have to come from New York. And we want to have something to say about what's going on, where the money's going, and everything else. And this gentleman was happened to be an English-speaking man. He was a student. He's still over in Israel. He's with the Jewish Encyclopedia, yeah. Smart, very smart. We had him appear, he came and appeared.
That was that name you mentioned before.
Yeah.
Not Tom?
Yeah. I forget his first name. Natanyoi. That was his last name.
Maybe like Netanyahu, like
yeah.
The hero of Entebbe, Yoni Netanyahu. Maybe that was it.
Yes, Netanyahu was his name. Mm-hmm. Anyhow, they wanted to set up some advertising here. That was the time Roosevelt then was in power. And of course, he wasn't moving too fast as far as Israel was concerned.
No, he certainly wasn't.
You said that. Anyhow, they wanted to put in whatever. I should have kept a lot of papers.
It looks like you've kept a lot.
Well, I still got plenty more. But what they came to me was they wanted to start around a series full-page ads. See, in reply to what the president was doing and wasn't doing.
It really sounded as if this was repeating itself. Here we all. We're worrying this summer about the full page ads and the Lebanese thing.
So we wanted to run these ads. We wanted somebody who was independent and who would, he thought, who would go along and permit their name to be used. And I, of course, at that time, I was the first president of the United Sinus Revisionist here in Pittsburgh. I'm still a revisionist, still fighting.
Is there much of a revisionist group now, Mr. Endless, or have they pretty well merged again?
I was just looking over, when did I look that over? Let's see, over here. To stop us, because that's the way they, and unfortunately, that's the way they fight about Jewish people, you know. Yeah, I've got some old years here. Contributions from August 18th to the 29th. You know Jacob Dash, you heard of that. Bankowitz, Bernstein.
J.B. Bernstein.
He's a big producer.
Yeah, my father-in-law.
He's a producer. Norman Bergman, Captain Captain.
You have a big list here.
A big list.
Yeah. How many pages is this?
This is 2,000. I had a, my office was the headquarters for all of this here stuff.
I
want you to know. And Mr. Schiff says, if anybody can help you, he says, if Mr. Edwards will leave you his name, he says, he says, that's all we need, but we wanted somebody to sign the name. So, I says, look, I figured I knew the people pretty well. So I says, okay. I says, I'll be your, whatever you want to sign me, your advertising. You can put my name down there, and I'll go along with you.
That's really amazing. Did you know what kind of activities Begin was engaged in at that time in Palestine?
Sure. We had every week we had meetings there.
Every week.
I remember a little voice of a newspaper man from, I think he was from Post Gazette at that time, if I'm not mistaken. We invite the newspaper men to come over. I happen to be president of Amen Corner at the Penn Hotel.
What was that?
Amen Corner.
I don't know what that was.
Well, it's not a political club. It's a businessman's club. First, it was supposed to be a Republican club, but there's Democrats going
on. You were a multiple president, weren't you? You were president wherever you went.
Well, I was sponsored by Senator Hatch. In fact, I was the second. And only last year was Teitelbaum, the judge.
Judge Hubert Teitelbaum.
Hubert Teitelbaum is the third Jewish president of the club.
And you were the second.
The first one was Bill Banswanger, who was born in Dreyfus's son-in-law.
Right.
And the only reason he was president was because Senator Frank Harris was a stockholder in the Pittsburgh Pirate Ball Club, and that was Bill. And that was Barney Gladys' son-in-law, Bill Farnsworth.
Right.
And then Senator Harris said, "Because I ran for council years ago."
Well, you ran for city council too.
Yeah. And when I was sponsored by Frank Harris. Frank says that we're going to go along with you. He said we have to make you know him. Your dad is known, but we got to make you know him. And he says, first thing you have to do is, he says, you got to go along with me, Amen Corner. So then I'll make you president of Amen Corner.
Oh my goodness. And he really charted your career, didn't he?
And people will know you. So what you did? So now I was made the second president. Didn't ask for it. Anyhow, getting back to this was the important thing. Ship says if Mr. Edwards will become the president, but he's practically the president of the business. Anyhow, he says, so, and he agrees to let you have the name. He says, we can go ahead and everything will be okay. Ad came out for page ad, and that afternoon I got a call from his friend, Mr. Alex Lowenthal. Mr. Ed, he says, what are you trying to do to us? I said, this is the way those people are, and I don't have their use for it. So I said, what do you mean, what am I trying to do? I said, I don't know what you're talking about. He said, did you see that ad in the paper this afternoon in the early edition? I said, no, I wasn't looking for it. I said, I know it was going in there. He says, yeah, he says, but you, he says, you're treasurer of the Zionist organization here. And he says, that's everything that the New York office is against. He says, those guys are going to blow up the whole country over there. And you're for that? I says, look, Alex. I'm a busy man, I says. I'm not a soldier, I don't blow up things. I says, but a friend of mine came to me and showed me the picture, showed me what they're going to do and this and that. And I says, I think they're right. And I says, as far as you and your science organization is concerned? He says, well, you're an official. I says, as of today, I'm not an official. You have my reservation, my resignation. I says, if that's the way you want to run the scientist organization, I says, you're not going to run it with me. I says, I think for myself and do for myself. Knowing he was a paid man, and he ended up getting a good job with the bond department of the organization. Oh, he was interested in the salary. I was no salary. I didn't need it. And that's when I then decided to become a revisionist. I'm a revisionist to this day.
Well, and you should be happy right now with your man
well,
in power.
I have a cablegram from Baker.
Do you?
Oh, yeah. Acknowledging my congratulations. Yeah.
Mr. Evans, have you ever been to Israel?
Yes. Yeah, we were in Israel in 1955. We went over early. Yeah, we were over there, stayed about 3 weeks.
You and your wife?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they treated us royal. One of us, the health minister, he was a very good friend of mine, Eliezer Shustov. He's the national health minister over there. He's mm-hmm. a very good friend. He was over here. He had them all over here. Cost money. To bring it to.
Are your children active in the science organization?
Nate Tabor is active here. And the religious, we're not running an organization. But I paid them my dues.
Oh, yeah. They kind of. Did they merge back with the General Zionist organization?
I would say so. But, I couldn't, in all fairness, go along with them even after, because we were all after the same thing.
That's right.
That's all
we really were.
After. We weren't after no honors or no offices or nothing. We felt that we were doing and Schiff was a very hard worker, and we had a lot of them. You see the names on it, and Julia's
list. Yeah, we were looking at the names on your list. That's really fascinating. I'm not sure whether anybody anywhere has gotten some of this information that you're giving us today. It's really wonderful.
I don't know.
Well, we're really thrilled that you're sharing that with us, because I think it's going to be very valuable for people to have.
A certain amount of history that you have to be very careful, of course, who it gets to and so on, because what they think, I don't know, they do whatever they want to. But we know that we did our share, and I did my share to everything I possibly could.
You certainly did.
And Mr. Rabbi Pupko,
mm-hmm.
he's a revisionist, not by knowledge. No, when he became a rabbi, he had to step out of the revisionist. He told me
that. Oh, really?
Oh, sure.
Mm-hmm.
It was an honor to be a revisionist. Getting back this little fellow from the newspaper, because we used to have any time we brought some people in, get some real good publicity. That's what we were after here, so that when we went to somebody and wanted to get money, who's the organization? So we had to put the organization on the map.
Yeah.
To stop getting, I want you to know, $2,500 in the days 25 years ago was a little worth more than $2,500.
For sure.
See? But this little guy, he said to me, he says, Mr. Evans, he said, why don't you go out and why don't they go just go to war with these people over there? He said, do what they're doing. He was an Irishman. He said, do what they're doing.
Oh, dear.
He says, that's what you call patriots. He said, they fight over there. You guys fight with your mind. He says, you want everything in the newspaper. He said, how much publicity do you want? I said, well, we could at least have a breakfast meeting to soften them up and get publicity. We had rather extra money, and these religious fellows that came over, they came from Israel. They made direct connections with Aaron, with banking. And on the weekends, we used to go to Cleveland and have a conference with Rabbi Selman, who didn't want to be known in that, in those days. He was a star.
These were like men from the Irgun who were coming over then point?
Mm-hmm. In fact, when you say Irgun, you take this fellow, Matthew Ewing, we had him speak. The committee tech got a hold of us and wanted that they have an assembly, I think, once a week or once a month or whatever it is. So it's part of that education. We didn't think that they gather all the students together in assembly. And
they wanted him to speak to them?
No, not him. They didn't want him. They asked us if it was going to be a Protestant Presbyterian minister was invited to come to talk. It was on the sinus question. New York, and they sent him on because he had all of the answers. Because after the assembly, they have a question and answer period for the students to ask questions. So, because we say about people fighting and this and that, the air one, because he got a team of people. And in the question period, a young fellow got up, a young Jewish boy got up, and I remember his very much. And he says, Mr. Matthew Ewing, he says, I agree with most everything that you have to say. He says, but still I don't believe, he says, that you should kill people, and you should rob banks, and you should blow up hotels, and you should do this. And he says, well, young man, he says, I can see your point. He says, very nice for you to talk the way you talk and tell me if you see this against him. He says, I can see why you can't see it. He says, you come from no doubt you're here at school, you're from out of town, from what I understand. He didn't know who the boy was.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I assume that your father is well fixed, has money that sends you here to school, get you a good education, and do this and do that. And he says, you don't have the conditions that you got over there. When you walk in the street over there, this was all during the earlier fighting days. He said, you never knew when a British soldier was going to come up right behind you and grab a hold of you and throw you in the jock. He says, you don't experience that here. He says, easy for you to talk. And he says, besides, he says, whose property are they blowing up? Killing, he says, we don't kill innocent people. Soldiers, yes. Yeah. He says, who are the soldiers that Great Britain sent over to you? To Palestine in those days. They pay them to go over there and kill them. Who do you think they killed? So they killed the Jews. He says, and what shall the Jews say? What shall they do? Lie down and die. He says, very nice of you. He says, someday I'll get a little more time, he said, I'll sit down and talk with you. And you get along fine, graduate, and maybe move a lot, learn some things.
Oh, my. He sounds like a very effective speaker.
Oh, he.
Yeah.
I mean, they were all, you take like Begin, they had Begin, if you read Begin's book, they had him in prison camp.
Right.
His family was wiped out entirely, and he's still bitter.
Oh, yes, he certainly is.
And he got out of camp, he was they let him out of camp because he was so smart, he said. He used to sit and learn with them. And they opened up the camp for any of them that wanted to go to Palestine in those days. It wasn't Israel yet. And he was one of the early migrants to Israel, which was Palestine.
Right. Would you say that of all your sort of extracurricular activities besides the business, that you were busiest with the Jewish causes, or?
Oh, I would say, well, I belong to the Legion. I'm a 60-year member of the American Legion. I'm a life member of Knights of Pythias.
I thought that was a Catholic group.
Which?
No, Knights of Pythias.
Oh,
no, that's Knights of Columbus, I guess.
I noticed some information that Dad was a member of the Knights of Pythias in New York before he came over here.
Oh, my.
Yeah, that's an old organization. Yeah. No, that's a benevolent organization.
But were you as active in those as you were in these Zionist affairs?
Well, I would think I was closer to the Zionist picture.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. I think I was a little closer, but I not always belong to the synagogue, as much as I possibly can. I was very active out in the Gulf setting.
I know.
Where I
Mr. Edlis, I think that we're coming to the end of this tape, and I think what you've given us is just absolutely remarkable. We thank you very much. What I'm going to do is take these tapes back, let the women listen to them. If they're satisfied, because you gave us so much in writing that we didn't bother asking you about the family like we have to do with a lot of people, if they're satisfied with these wonderful anecdotes about your dad and city politics and the early days of the Zionist thing, then I think we can probably feel that this is an entity in itself. If someone says to us, well, you really need to fill in other things, I'll call you. But
I hope that you're more, or you can delete what you want.
No, delete we won't, because it has really been special, and you've been very generous of your time. Most people quit at the end of an hour, and somehow we don't seem to be able to. We don't want to hold you back, but I am going to stop.